Good morning, church. My name is Josh Seiden, and I have the pleasure of, preaching to you guys today. I'm really excited. First, turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be referring to that throughout the message today, and we're going to start in verse 11. I first wanted to thank Danny and Katie for being just the best team leaders and leading us just to a relationship with God that's going to last forever. I'm very grateful. And they really helped me pave the way for college. I just graduated from Pope High School. I'll be attending Augusta University in the fall. You probably never heard of it, but Division II school in Augusta, Georgia, where they do the masters. It's going to be awesome. I also want to thank Stephen Goodwin. He was my team leader freshman, sophomore year of high school. And he's actually the guy who studied the Bible with me and really helped me get to know Christ. And, these, relationships now are going to pave the way for the future, and, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of where I've grown up and go attack the world, so I'm really excited. So you probably know this. I'm a runner. I'm a cross-country runner. I'm going to be on scholarship at Augusta University running cross-country and track, and I'm very excited. I've worked really hard for this, and just, running is very, very special to me. It holds a special place in my heart. And, after I found God, I started praying when I run. And whenever I run, I get deep in prayer. And it's pretty awesome because, everything flushes out of my mind. I'm able to just focus. Just the Spirit just moves when I run. And I pray all kinds of prayers, and it's amazing. And the sermon today actually came to me on a run. So it's going to be a lot of running and life relations. So when someone asks me, Josh, why do you like running? It's hard for me to describe to someone that running 11 miles is fun, because there's not really much I can say. I mean, Sunday runs, I do my long runs, 11 miles. And the best answer I could say is that it's a battle. Running is a battle, but I love it. And I want to just describe to you what kind of battle it is and what I go through on a race day, because that's a true battle. So the morning of a race, I wake up at like 5 in the morning, depending on how far we go, get up early, eat a hearty breakfast, but a lot of the times I'm never hungry, so I have to force down food, because if I don't eat, I don't run well, and it's just not easy to get food in my body, just being honest. And then I had to fight for a while with the nerves. I would get really nervous, and I get car sick in the car, and a lot of times I would throw up before races. It's just my nerves would get to me, and then I found a way to just plug in headphones and meditate and just pray and just stay calm, and I finally got that. But once I get to the race itself, I mean, we line up against like 20 other teams to 50 teams sometimes. It's not a one-on-one sport. There's a lot of different components, and it's not just teams. You're up against yourself. You're up against the clock. You're up against your own teammates. Because when you get on that line, it's kind of every man for himself. It's who can run 3.1 miles the fastest they possibly can. And it usually goes to the guy with the best training and the most guts. And, the gutsy guys are the ones who really, really do well. And then you race, and then you cross the finish line, and the pain is still there. I mean, for me, the pain doesn't subside until like sometimes 20 minutes to 30 minutes after a race, and then I finally, recuperate. But, I mean, running is a battle. Running is a real battle. But, this life is a battle, and I want to read in Ephesians 6 about the battle that we're in. In verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take the stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And when I first read this, this kind of blew my mind because, I mean, God's saying the battle is spiritual, not physical. It's not flesh and blood. It's not the skin and this body, but it's spiritual. It's something that we can't see. And I'm like, man, I got to talk about that. I got to talk about how we can fight it. And today I want to focus not on the defensive weapons, but the offensive weapons, the things we have to fight it off with. Because we have been given some amazing weapons to fight this off and to fight it off spiritually rather than physically. So I'm going to give you another running reference. So I was a part of Pope High School. Our cross-country team was really, really good. We made a name for ourselves. Freshman, sophomore year, we were a nobody. No one knew who we were. Junior year, we made it all the way to the state championship, our first time, and we got second place. Our first time ever, all seven of us have never been to state before in our life. We got second place, and that was amazing. And going into my senior year, we had a big target on our back. We were the target for every other team, and they knew who we were. And we made a statement there, and then we made multiple statements throughout the season. We went against this team called Marietta High School. And you probably don't know, but Marietta, the previous year, was a national qualifying team. And they were the best of the best, best of Georgia history. They did lose a couple of their seniors, but they were the favorites going into county. And we go out there, and we race in a pack. And people knew who Pope High School was after that race because we beat them by 1 point. 1 point. And we made the paper, and it said, point taken. And it was awesome. So, you know, Pope made a statement there, and then we actually went out of the state of Georgia and made another statement and made Pope another name to look out for. We went to the Jesse Owens Classic in Alabama. We went all the way out there, the only Georgia team. No one knew who we were. And we just went out there, had so much fun, just raced and had fun. But, like, we didn't think we did well. We were mad at each other. We were mad at ourselves. And we were on the cool down. We were just bickering. The guys just weren't happy. And then one of the dad, you know, we almost missed the award ceremony. The dad's like, get over here. Like, we got to go to the awards. And we're like, what's the point? We didn't do well. We get up there. They call out third place. They call out second place. We're like, great, why are we even here? And then they, first place, Pope High School, all the way from Marietta, Georgia. We're like, what? Like, what is this? And, you know, we made Pope High School the name to remember in Alabama. Like, next year, when they have that race, they'll be like, these are the returning champions, Pope. So, you know, we really made a name for ourselves. But there's another name that I want to talk about that tops every team and every name, and it's the name above all names, and that's the name of Jesus. That's the first spiritual weapon I wanted to talk about. Let me give you a scripture just to show you the power of this weapon. In Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, or every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. So this is the name. When we talk about names, Jesus Christ is that name. And, you know, how are we going to use this name to fight spiritually? Like, Josh, how can I use this? Well, here's an example. When Jesus sends out the 72, they come back and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And that's what we're up against spiritually. And we need to use the name of Jesus to fight that off. And however that might look in your life, it's probably different for all of us, but just acknowledging Jesus' name just through our daily lives or just whatever works for you, but use that name. And that is our first weapon. So I'm going to give you another story. This past year, I was struggling a little bit with just being in my Bible. I didn't really have the motivation to want to turn to scripture for some reason. I needed something to inspire me to go search for it, and I didn't really have anything. And I was telling a great friend of mine, a very spiritual friend of mine, about it. That guy was Andres Perez. He's got an amazing story. He was actually lived across the street from Northview and was outside in the back, and Michael Anglin invited him to church. And now he's a disciple, and he is an amazing spiritual friend of mine. And me and him really relate. We dig deep in scripture with each other. And he said something that I will always remember. And it just cut me to the heart. And he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And that was like, whoa, like that cut me hard. Because it's like, you know, we think food and water are the only things that, you know, gives us our health and our happiness. But God's saying, like, there's more to it than just bread and water and or food and water. And it's my word. And it's a spirit. It does spiritual things. It's a spiritual weapon, the word. And let's keep reading in Ephesians 6, verse 17, when it talks about the word. So Ephesians 6, 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This sword is a powerful, powerful sword, and God even describes it. It says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And after I read that, I was like, okay, that makes sense why that hit me so hard. Because this sword, you know, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it really hit me hard and penetrated to soul and spirit, which is a spiritual thing. And one thing I wanted to get at with this sword is it's in the armor of God, right? And in battle with a sword, it's not just supposed to stay at our side. It's supposed to be out and ready. And we're supposed to fight with it. We're supposed to kill the enemy with it. And with this sword, we will be able to fight off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And, you know, even when Jesus was tempted in the desert, it's a perfect example. You know, Satan was like, you know, "Turn these rocks into bread." But Jesus was like, "Man shall not live on bread alone." He combated the temptation with scripture. And that's how we need to be. That's a strong, strong weapon, the word of God. This leads me to my third point. So in running, I made an ARD, which stands for Amazing Running Discovery. I don't know if you remember Steve's message. He made an ABD, Amazing Bible Discovery, but I made an ARD, Amazing Running Discovery. And I'm going to give you a cool story of how this came about. So going into my championship races in cross country and track, I would always get to the state level and just do awful. My state meet, junior year in cross country, senior year in track, and then senior year in cross country were the worst races of my life and the most pain I've ever been in my life. And I'll give you just this last state meet what happened. I was on my warm-up, I was running, and I just noticed, I know my body very well, and when my legs feel really, really good, it's like too good to be true sometimes. I get out and race, and I don't end up feeling good, so I knew that. And then I get up on the line, and you know, the gun goes off, and we're going. And my breathing was just off. I had like a slight wheeze, and I wasn't breathing right. And then after the breathing went, my legs started to get heavy, like really, really heavy. Like there were two rocks just attached to me, and it was awful. And there was a lot of hills, so they were, you know, really, really hurting bad. And then after my legs went, my arms just go. I just start fighting with my arms. And I know, you know, when you run, you're running with your legs, but I tend to just use my arms because that's all I got left. And I just use my arms and just, you know, you see pictures of me, like, my form is just crazy sometimes. But yeah, I finish, you know, I'm going into the finish. It's a downhill. Most people are sprinting and people are passing me left and right. And I wasn't even focused on sprinting through the finish. I was focused on keeping my legs from like buckling under me. Like they felt like they were about to give out. And I crossed the line and everything was blurry. I went to the medical tent. And that day I was in the most pain I've ever been in my life. I can say that right now. And me and my mom were trying to figure out, like what is wrong? Like, why would this happen to me? Because I did everything I could possibly do for this race to be the best race, and it didn't work out. And we're like, okay, let's figure this out. And my mom came up with this thing, "Josh, I think you have athletic-induced asthma." And I'm like, that could definitely be a possibility, because under stress and championship races, it's like, you know, my breathing gets taxed and the nervousness, I just don't breathe right. And then everything else goes out of the way. So I get tested, get an inhaler, I go into the meet of champions. And, you know, the doctor said, take two puffs, 5 minutes apart. Did that, and I had the race of my life. I ran faster than I've ever run before, and it was amazing. I felt like I could run forever. But to relate this to God is, you know, running without an inhaler is like our lives without prayer. When we don't have prayer in our lives, we're going to be like I was at the state meet, and we're not going to be able, like, we're going to be struggling even crossing the finish line. We're going to be in so much pain. Our breathing's going to be off. We're going to start running with our arms all the way up. We're just going to do crazy things that, you know, the answer is prayer. And that's, you know, that's the weapon that I wanted to talk about. And here's an example of just how we could use prayer in a spiritual way and what it actually does for us. It says in Mark 9, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. And, you know, this is a very spiritual thing. This was a demon-possessed boy, and his disciples were like, why can't we drive this out? There was something wrong, and Jesus was like, this kind can only come out by prayer. And since our battle is spiritual, you know, this is what we're up against, and we need to fight, you know, fight with prayer. That is a very, very strong spiritual weapon. Since you guys are in Ephesians, you know, the armor of God, it actually mentions prayer in it. In verse 18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, this is part of our armor. This is part of our fighting, you know, our sword and what we're supposed to fight with. And it says, pray for all the saints. Pray for everyone. And, you know, I was thinking, like, what does prayer do? And the best thing I could come up with is, you know, we're fighting for other people spiritually. Because it's a spiritual weapon. If you're not praying for yourself and other people aren't praying for you, then who's fighting for you spiritually? There's probably nothing. So when you pray for someone who doesn't have God in their life, you're fighting for them spiritually. You're helping them. And you may not see it, but God says, you know, the battle is spiritual, not physical. I'm going to close this out with one last scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. You know, our spiritual weapons that the scripture talks about, they're not physical. They're not the weapons of this world. They are spiritual weapons. And let us use our spiritual weapon of prayer. Let us use the spiritual weapon of the name of Jesus and the word. And we'll be able to fight off the flaming arrows of the enemy. So let's pray.